This season's quarterfinal lineup is complete, and it's Chelsea and Villarreal who booked their last eight spots on the last night of the round of 16. The defending champion survived a scare to see off Losc Lille. Villarreal produced a magical away performance in Turin to shock Juventus. We'll review both matches and we'll preview the quarterfinal draw on Friday. The last 16 came to a close in style. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott. What an evening. The last eight lineup in this season's competition is this: Atletico, Bayern, Benfica, Liverpool, Manchester City, Real Madrid, Chelsea and Villarreal, a Spanish town with a population of just over 50,000 people. We're going to reflect on how they did it, on how Chelsea did it, and as I mentioned, we're going to talk about that draw for the last eight, which is coming up in a couple of days' time. I'm joined by commentators Adam Summerton and Phil Blacker. Adam, you were watching events in Turin, and Villarreal, in the end, remarkably, with a 3-0 away success at Juventus, some night for them.
It is a stunning victory for them because, look, let's face it, they were the underdogs coming into this tonight, but they would have taken confidence from the fact that Lyon were underdogs coming to this very stadium at the same stage. Porto were underdogs at the same time. And I think that that psychological side of things probably doesn't help Juventus, let's put it that way, in these sort of situations. So that would have encouraged them. But it was just really a masterclass from Unai Emery. Allegri, perhaps less so, but Emery found a way to lull them into a false sense of security. He found a way to not overextend themselves, to not push when maybe it wasn't on. At times, you could even have said that if you were being critical of Villarreal, that maybe there were times when they could have upped the tempo, where they could have moved through the gears, and they chose to go backwards or sideways, and that started to get a bit frustrating. But of course, we didn't know what the game plan was, did we? We weren't in the mind of Unai Emery, who knew all along that the game plan was, well, if a real good opportunity comes to play that through ball, then take it. But otherwise, we're just quite happy to take it to, what, 70 minutes, and then we'll pick our moment, then we'll up the gear, and that's exactly what they did. And as soon as that time came, the last 20 minutes, send on Gerard Moreno. He goes up with Dan Juma. Suddenly there's more intent, there's more vigour about them in the final third, and a rash challenge comes in. The mistake that Kevin had said all game that Villarreal would eventually hope for, well, it came. The foul, rash challenge by Rugani. They get the penalty and they never look back from that. There was only ever going to be one winner. I think from a Juve perspective, they'll regret not getting more service into Vlahovic. They'll regret the fact that Morata barely got involved in the game as well. I think they'll regret the fact that there was so little creativity in central areas. I think they'll regret the fact that from the wide positions, aside from Cuadrado in the first half, who put in one or two really good balls from the right, it wasn't good enough from the flanks. I mean, these are all things that Max Allegri certainly won't need telling. He'll be well aware of it himself. But yeah, I mean, the credit has to go to Villarreal, though, in terms of the tactical way that they played. That was superb.
A lot more to discuss about that match. Phil Blacker was watching the defending champions, who were up against it for a while against Losc Lille, but made it through in the end.
Yeah, fairly comfortable at the conclusion, Chris, for Chelsea, but you're right, it doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. They were given a scare or two by Lille, who went in front on the night, thanks to a Burak Yilmaz penalty, and were the width of a post away from restoring that lead in the second half. Šeker's header coming back off the frame of the goal, but ultimately the champions were able to make their quality count. Two well-constructed goals, the first from Christian Pulisic made a major difference right at the end of the first half, and then Cesar Azpilicueta, led by example all night, the captain scoring what proved to be the decisive goal just under 20 minutes from time, effectively wrapped it up and took them through with something to spare in the end.
Yeah, impressive from Chelsea. I've got the European football expert Kevin Hatchard alongside me. This week, Kevin, it's been quite remarkable in the second legs of the last 16. We've had four away victories. On Tuesday night, Atletico beat Manchester United to go through at Old Trafford. Benfica beat Ajax to go through in Amsterdam. And then on Wednesday, as we've been talking about, Villarreal 3-0 winners at Juventus, Chelsea 2-1 winners at Losc Lille. It's been a week to be the away side. All very impressive, and I mean, we could probably spend the next 30 minutes speaking about Villarreal, but what an achievement for that football club, for that group of players. and for Unai Emery.
Absolutely, because it's not just about Emery. It was his game plan. They followed every step of it to perfection, but the players have to do their bit. And it was all of the ingredients you need for a classic away performance. Does the goalkeeper come up big when you need him mm-hmm. to? Absolutely. Geronimo Rulli with several excellent saves in that first half. Are your centre-backs then going to protect the goal? Yes, they did. Raul Albiol and Pau Torres. I mean, I'm so pleased for Pau Torres, because when Juan Román Riquelme missed that penalty in the semi-finals against Arsenal and Jens Lehmann, Pau Torres was in the stadium, aged 8 years old.
Was he?
He was he was in the stadium as a fan, and he watched that happen. And yet he's come up with one of the great moments for Villarreal in this competition. I'm so pleased with the way he played, with the way Albiol played. And then you then need players who could come on and make a difference. And Gerard Moreno, as Adam has already alluded to, did just that. And it was the perfect timing to bring him on. They reacted to things that were going wrong and changed them and fixed them. And it was just the perfect synergy between a group of players that believes in the coach and a coach that believes in his group of players. Brilliant performance.
You mentioned that penalty for Riquelme. 2006, that was in the semi-finals against Arsenal, and I think everyone fell in love with this little team from Spain. 3 years later, Villarreal reached the quarterfinals. They lost to Arsenal again in 2009. Not since then have they been in the last eight, but they are in 2022. And this is how they did it against Juventus in Turin.
Coquelin's gone down in the box. Rugani it was with a challenge. Marchini at the referee is clearly getting something said in his ear. He's put his whistle to his mouth. Now he's drawn the VAR signal and he's going across to have a look at it. And he's given it. It's a penalty to Villarreal. Can Gerard Moreno keep his cool? Looks down at the ball, approaches the ball, left-footed, squeezes it in! Beats Szczęsny away to the goalkeeper's left. Szczęsny got a touch on it, but couldn't keep it out. 6 minutes to go. They've got no choice, Juve, but to take risks. Inevitably, it will lead to chances. Openings for Villarreal as it's flicked on, and it's been turned in for a second! It's Pau Torres from the corner! And that could be it, you know. Hands on his hips. Dan Juma approaches the ball. He'll take it right-footed and sends it to the goalkeeper's right. Szczęsny went the wrong way. It's three. It's in a masterclass from Unai Emery. It's been simply wonderful from Villarreal.
Arno, Dan Juma with that goal. The first Villarreal player to score five goals in a single Champions League campaign. A night of firsts and a remarkably impressive performance. Now, that highlight mix started in the second half upon the first goal. Gents, if we can go back to the opening 20 minutes of the game for a moment. Juve were on top, and Dusan Vlahovic, sitting back when he watches that game back, Adam, he won't believe that he didn't score one of his opportunities, and he won't believe that Juventus didn't score in that early period of the game.
Well, he had that one chance that was from a fairly tight angle that he's hit first. A lot of centre-forwards would have taken a touch, actually, in that situation, but he hit it first time from a fairly tight angle and hit the crossbar. The goalkeeper would have got nowhere near it had it been slightly underneath the bar. I would argue that, as I just said, that I think a lot of centre-forwards wouldn't have taken that chance. They wouldn't have seen it as necessarily an opportunity. The other one that he had, again, rather came from his own ability. He got the ball about midway inside the half, the defenders backed off, and he just decided to take a run and try to bend a left-footed shot. But other than that, Chris, as I said earlier, a big regret for Juventus will be that the man that can really make something happen for them, somebody whose tail is really up, he's really confident, he's 22, he believes that he can be a difference maker, he believes that this stage of the competition is where he belongs. They barely got any ball into him at all. Anything that he did himself, Vlahovic. And that's got to be a massive regret for Juventus, that they didn't utilise his quality more tonight.
He was as good as Villarreal allowed him to be. And there was a point in the second half when he thought, I'm fed up of this. I'm going to go chasing the ball. Mm. Because he'd waited for over an hour to have decent service in. It wasn't happening. And so he went wide. He was trying to play crosses in. And that should really have been the moment where Allegri looked at it and thought, I probably need to change this. I think in the end, the subs came too late. I think people, when they analyse this from a Juve perspective, will look at both legs. Vlahovic scores 31 seconds into the first leg.
Seems a long time ago, right?
They then have one shot on target for the rest of the first leg and weren't bold enough. And in the same way in this second leg, started well. First half, they were the better team. But Villarreal just lulled them into that false sense of security, allowed the clock to just keep ticking, and then turn those margins in their favour. And that's what you need to do when you come up against a club with Juventus's history and a club with the squad that they have. I thought it was just an outstanding performance.
Juve aspire to be the very best in Europe. At the moment, I think you wouldn't get much disagreement that those sides are Liverpool, Manchester City, Bayern. In the situation that they had in Spain, if that had been one of those three sides, having scored one, they'd have gone and tried and scored two, three, four, like we saw with Salzburg and Bayern, like we've seen with Liverpool in other games. But that wasn't the approach from Juve. It was, oh, we'll just protect what we've got. And I think that, again, talk about regrets, they'll probably regret that now.
Villarreal, I mean, what a finish. The goals kept on coming. And by the end of the game, Juventus were completely done. That they could have even scored a fourth, which seemed completely inconceivable after 70-odd minutes.
I think what this kind of new era of Villarreal is about under Unai Emery is it's about building layer upon layer of belief. And that run to the Europa League final and then to win that tournament, once you know you've got through loads of two-legged ties like this under high pressure against, let's be honest, more highly vaunted opponents with glittering CVs, you just don't get scared about that kind of thing anymore. And you can go to a stadium like this and think, right, we've got the game plan, we've got the players, we've got the organisation, we've got game changers on our bench, and you don't panic then. And when you hear the crowd start to get frustrated, sideways passes or backwards passes, something clicks in your mind and go, ah, okay, we're doing the right things. And if you show players the pathway and they know they can follow it to victory, they'll do it time and time again. That is a group of players that's bought into what the coach wants and are prepared to do it.
And why wouldn't you when you look at his European record in particular? Look, Villarreal are highly unlikely to go and win the Spanish top flight. But in terms of, because you need maybe a deeper squad to be able to do that across a whole league season. But in these sort of situations with a coach as wily as Unai Emery, you know, they could go a long way and they could keep surprising people.
I mean this incredibly positively. They're a horrible team to play against.
Yeah.
You know, they frustrate you, but then they have the players with the quality as well. And just to emphasise the point that you were making, seventh in the Spanish League at the moment, outside of the European places, but last season en route to the Europa League, they beat Arsenal in the semi-finals and then they beat Manchester United in the final. So this is a team in terms of two-legged European times under Unai Emery that they're not going to be scared of anybody in Friday's draw.
If you look at Emery's career and if you look at what he did at Sevilla in the Europa League, what he's done with Villarreal in the Europa League, he almost approaches the season like he approaches a two-legged tie. If you look at spells in the league season, he will unashamedly prioritise a European competition. And the owners of the club will let him do that because he's successful. And they'll say, OK, if that's what you want to do, if you want to rotate and we've got a game at the weekend and you're not going to have that on the same level as this European tie on Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday, whatever it happens to be, fine. You go and do that because it's successful. So him not being as successful in a league, he's not that bothered. As long as he can qualify for Europe the next season, that'll do.
And you know, when you've won a club's first ever major honour, as he did last season, he could do anything and he'll still be a legend.
Yeah.
They could have lost that 10-0 tonight and he'd still be a legend. And he's won their first ever major trophy.
And remember, very publicly, earlier on in this Champions League campaign, he turned down Newcastle United in the English Premier League, said, this is why I'm staying at Villarreal. I believe in the project. I've got the group of players that we can be successful with. This town, very close to Valencia, an academy which we've seen Torres come through and other players, along with throughout the history of their club. You think of some of the great South American players Villarreal have had. And now the class of 2022 are writing their own Villarreal story, right, which we're all falling in love with.
They are one of the great European stories of the last couple of decades. It doesn't make any football sense for them to be able to do what they've done, not just in one era, but in the Pellegrini era before that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost absurd what they've been able to do. Just one final point from me on Emery. The clubs where it hasn't worked for him are the clubs that don't get it. They're the clubs that think you have to win every single game in a season, and they're not prepared to let him tiptoe his way through the campaign.
Okay, so potentially talking about Paris Saint-Germain and Arsenal here, where the pressures are bigger, a difference certainly to Villarreal. So do you think that this is the perfect match then, both for coach and for club?
I think it is a good fit. I mean, look, I think Unai Emery, and I don't say this in hindsight, I said it at the time, he was treated with a complete lack of respect in England.
Yes, I agree.
And I think it's English football's loss that he's not still there. Because I think, particularly when we're talking about continental competition, can we really say that there are many better current modern coaches than Unai Emery? Look at his record. Mm. It stands up against... You know, people would throw names like Ancelotti in the Champions League, granted. But he's reached 8 major European finals. He's won the Europa League 4 times. I mean, this is ridiculous. He's 50 years old. And he's shown an ability. You know, whenever I think of European competition and head coaches who are able to somehow find a way, whatever that may be, to win a one-off game, I think of Mourinho and I think of Benitez, that era in the sort of the what, around 2010, that maybe slightly before then, they were genius at doing that, finding a way, even if their side was of a lesser ability, as was the case often with Benitez and Liverpool, to win a one-off game. Unai Emery's proven to be a real master of that himself.
Because Kevin, Villarreal's budget and squad depth, if they can't go up against a Manchester City or a Liverpool or a Chelsea or a Bayern... Or a Real Madrid, can they? I mean, they can't go and play that incredible attacking way. They could do, but they would probably lose.
It wouldn't work. Yeah,
they'd just get picked off.
Yeah, that's what this game was all about. It was about not overcommitting. There were moments in that first half where they had long spells of possession in the opposition half, and you thought they can turn and drive there if they want. No, not interested in that. We're going to keep possession in their half and frustrate them and frustrate the crowd. The key word as well, when you apply it to the players, is humility. Now, that's harder to find sometimes with bigger clubs with bigger reputations, because you're dealing with sometimes a different type of player and that player has different expectations. That group, okay, this is what the coach tells me to do, I'm going to do it. So, they're a very humble group.
So good at what they do right now, City, Liverpool and Bayern. I'll pick those three teams in particular. Unbelievable football to watch. So good are they at it that we've almost become persuaded that that's how you have to play football to be the best. There's lots of ways to win a football match, and Villarreal showed that tonight.
Yeah, and they are in the quarterfinals along with those three clubs you just talked about. Juventus are not, and we can hit from a disappointed Matthijs de Ligt.
Especially until the minute 75, I think it was a quite even game. I think in the first half we had a couple of opportunities, really big opportunities, but that the goalkeeper saved really well. And also second half, I think they didn't have a lot of chances. Also, we didn't have a lot. And yeah, I think after the penalty, we completely collapsed.
Honest there from Matthijs de Ligt. Juventus 0, Villarreal 3. Spanish side through 4-1 on aggregate. Coming up, we're going to look at Wednesday's other last 16 second leg.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moment in UEFA Champions League history. Vote now at UEFA.com/UCL feeling and you could win tickets for the final in May and some other amazing prizes.
Well, in northern France, Lille hosted Chelsea and Phil Blacker watched this one.
Out as far as David, who returns it right-footed into the thick of the penalty area. Chelsea haven't got it clear yet. There's a big appeal for a handball. Lille convinced there that struck a Chelsea arm. So the referee has had a look at it, and he has pointed to the penalty spot. Handball against Jorginho. Here comes Burak Yilmaz. Powerful right-footed penalty to the left of Edouard Mendy. And in, and Lille are back in it. With just over 6 minutes of the first half of the second leg to play, Lille 1, Chelsea 0 on the night. Chelsea's aggregate lead is reduced to 2-1. Brilliant finish from Christian Pulisic, and Chelsea are level on the night, and their two-goal cushion in the tie is restored. In first half added time, Christian Pulisic, a scorer in the first leg, has another crucial goal for Chelsea. Breaks here for Mason Mount, left edge of the penalty area, whips a good ball in, first time for Azpilicueta to apply the finishing touch. And Chelsea in front on the night and well on their way now to the quarterfinals.
Phil joins us now, and as you said, it was a little nervy for a while, but that goal on half-time from their American star, that was a decisive moment, wasn't it?
It was. I think when you look back over the context of the night, Chris, yeah, it was a really positive Lille performance in the first half, and they were generating real momentum heading towards half-time. They'd left it relatively late in the half to get themselves in front, which hadn't necessarily looked on the cards. Chelsea had kept them at arm's length for much of the match up until that penalty, which I think was the correct call on video review when the ball bounced up and struck Jorginho, who was off balance. So Burak Yilmaz gave them the lead, gave them something to work with, but I think it was the timing as much as anything of the Pulisic goal right at the end of the first half that just had this deflating effect on perhaps the players, certainly the crowd heading into half-time. And for all that Lille pressed and probed and gave it everything that they had in that second half, you just felt that Chelsea, if they needed it, had an extra gear. And as it turned out, they probably did need it, because Lille were close to restoring their advantage as well. A Šeke header from a brilliant Burak Yilmaz ball in from the right-hand side, whilst it was 1-1, almost had them back in front and could have set up the grandstand finish. But again, quality from Chelsea. They brought Mason Mount on at half-time. He came up with a cross for the goal. Azpilicueta had been up and down that right-hand side all night and got his reward. I think he actually got his knee on the end of the ball, which converted it for the goal with about 20 minutes to play. And after that, Chelsea were cruising through and into the quarterfinals in the end with something to spare. Lille will take positives from their performance, but their big challenge, of course, is to try and get back into the Champions League. That seven-point gap now in Ligue 1 to the qualification places for next season. This was their big night. They gave it everything they had, but Chelsea's quality showed.
Well, you mentioned there the goal for Cesar Azpilicueta, and the Chelsea captain has been giving us his assessment of Chelsea's victory here.
I think the first half we didn't start very well. I think they were very active. They had a lot of time to prepare the game. We knew that it was going to be difficult. Sometimes we play in the spaces. Sometimes we made as well a few mistakes, so we allowed them to counter-attacks. They are dangerous, but I think the reaction after the penalty was good. We scored before halftime, and it was the right time, because if you go 1-0 down at halftime, we knew that the second half could be very difficult.
Azpilicueta, who actually scored against Lille in 2019 in this competition, here is his head coach Thomas Tuchel, understandably delighted to be into the quarterfinals.
So nice that so many fans are here and took the travel and to support the team. Feels brilliant, because we're getting quarterfinals. It's a big step, and showed again resilience and mentality, and we did what was necessary and digged in and got a deserved win. It's difficult here, and we did what was needed, so well done to the team.
Thomas Tuchel there, who has now won 32 of his first 50 games as a coach in the Champions League, which is a new record. He leads that particular stat ahead of Zinedine Zidane with 31 and Pep Guardiola with 30. And of course, this season he is aiming to reach his third final in a row. We now know the eight teams in the draw for this season's quarterfinals, following a round of 16 full of big moments.
It's Lewandowski from the penalty spot. Steps to his side. Ben Stutters steps forward and scores. Bayern one up already. Here comes Lewandowski again. He hesitates and he rolls it into the corner. Werber against Lewandowski. It's rebounded off the goalkeeper. Lewandowski's got another. He's got a hat-trick inside 23 minutes.
Bernardo Silva, Raheem Sterling, edge of the sporting area. Looks for the corner. Oh, that's just another sensational strike from Raheem Sterling. Sporting 0, Manchester City 5.
Corner this time on the right-hand side. Whipped across, left-footed, and it's headed in by Darwin Núñez.
back to put Benfica in front on the night, and 3-2 ahead on aggregate.
The cross is going to be swung in by Lodi. Chance off the post and in. João Félix with the header. It's come through for Elanga. Here's the chance, which he's taken. Deep ball in. Renan Lodi must be. Atleti have scored. A sucker punch from Manchester United.
Martinez again, looks up and drives a brilliant goal. Right footed from the edge of the area.
Breaks there for Mason Mount. Left edge of the penalty area. Whips a good ball in. First time for Azpilicueta to apply the finishing touch. And Chelsea in front on the night and well on their way now to the quarterfinals.
It's flicked on and it's been turned in for a second. It's Pau Torres from the corner. And that could be it, you know. A moment that could spell the end for Juventus in this season's Champions League.
Mbappe is taking on Lucas Vazquez into the penalty area away. And in and scores. And the breakthrough goal comes in the last minute of the four and it on.
Oh, they're in again here. It's Vinicius trying to get around Marquinhos. Benzema! Incredible scenes! Karim Benzema has a hat-trick and Real Madrid are doing the unthinkable! The roof has been lifted off the famous old Bernabeu!
Well, it's been quite brilliant over the last few weeks. Real Madrid, as you heard, through. Bayern through. Liverpool through. Manchester City through. Atletico through. Benfica through. And Chelsea and Villarreal into the quarterfinals as well. The draw is this Friday, the 18th of March, midday CT. Anybody can face anyone, so two clubs from the same country can be paired. The semi-final draw is also going to be made, and you can watch it all on UEFA.com. Kev, eight clubs, some pretty big names there.
Oh, yes.
first of all, what really caught your eye in the last 16?
Real Madrid's ability to hang in there, and then the quality of Benzema to turn that tie in their favour against a Paris team that I think all those bad experiences in previous years came flooding back. I think what we saw with Bayern, despite the fact that they were magnificent in the second leg, I think there are flaws there that they need to fix by the time we get to the quarterfinals. I think we saw Liverpool's power over the two legs, and the fact that even though Lautaro scored that magnificent goal at Anfield, at no stage did Liverpool panic mm-hmm. in that tie. We saw a Manchester City team, and I say this every year, this won't surprise you, Chris, because I say this every year, this doesn't tell us anything about Manchester City.
It's true.
Because them steamrolling Sporting, very impressive, doesn't tell us anything. It's semi-final, quarter-final, semi-final, final. Mm. That's when we find out about Manchester City. That's when all of those bad experiences for them come back. I put them and Paris in the same bracket until they do otherwise and win the thing. I'm going to keep putting them in that bracket because until you can prove you can win it, mm-hmm. it's hard then psychologically to actually go on and do it. That's the challenge for them.
I'm going to ask you, Kevin, and Adam Summerton for your moments of the last 16 shortly. Phil, you get the honour of going first. There's a lot to pick from.
There is. I think the one that stands out has to be Benzema's hat-trick in that incredible turnaround for Real Madrid against Paris Saint-Germain, which it seemed improbable at the time, even when you're talking about a player of that quality. That, for a standalone moment, is the one that I would opt for.
Yeah, I would agree. Benzema, for me, that was a proper UEFA Champions League moment. And I think the longevity and the consistency that he's shown at a club the size of Real Madrid with the pressures that comes with is astonishing.
Yeah.
Pau Torres, Villarreal, excellent. Through and through, scoring a goal against Juventus in Turin. What a moment.
I might just throw in a quick one. It was disallowed, so it sounds strange, but that finish from Kylian Mbappe, which would have put them 2-0
up,
and was correctly disallowed, that would have been one of my favourite Champions League goals for some time. Gents, thank you very much. So the last 16 came to an end in style. Juventus losing 3-0 at home to Villarreal and Chelsea winning 2-1 away at Lille to both go through by 4-1. And they join Benfica, Atletico, Manchester City, Real Madrid, Liverpool and Bayern in the quarterfinals. Our live commentary show, Matchday Live, is back when the last eight gets underway on Tuesday, the 5th of April, 8 p.m. CET. We've got commentary all the way through to the final, And don't forget to download this very podcast shortly after every match night. Just search for Champions League on your favourite podcast provider. For now, though, from me and from the rest of the team, it's goodbye after a fantastic, entertaining last 16.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.